Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, how the visions that just rush through our hearts as we were encouraged by the supply and joints of the body, all from the head, all from you, and Lord, the glory that floods our soul, Lord, that you have enlightened the eyes of understanding of the likes of us. And Lord, we do. We just stand before you in awe and wonder. Lord, that is the fear of the Lord, is the awe of your love. The awe of your passion. The awe of, again, your desire for us. Your desire for us. Your longing for us. Lord, we rejoice this morning because what this represents, you have risen. Oh, you have risen. You're no longer on the cross. You're no longer in the grave. Oh, beautiful Lamb, you're seated, smiling at the right hand of our Father. Our Abba Father. And we await him and his command someday, maybe today. Son, go get your wife. We thank you, we praise you, we rejoice in that joy unspeakable and full of glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. What a precious day. Thank you, Lord. And you know, we don't observe days and times and all of those things, but I sure am thankful to think about his death and resurrection every day. But I'm glad we're here today to rejoice. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. That's Ephesians 2, verse 6. Actually, let's read from verse 4. We're going to get back to Ephesians 1:1 here in a minute. But in Ephesians 2, verse 4, it says, But God, who is rich in mercy. You come around these parts much, you're going to really hear about the mercy of the Lord. Matter of fact, his mercy endures forever. Matter of fact, you're saved, yes, by his grace, but you're saved by his mercy. And this is where this passion and compassion for us truly starts, is really understanding this great mercy. And I love to express it like this, as it is the truth. Mercy isn't just the opposite of what you deserve to receive. Mercy is the exact extreme opposite of what you deserved to receive. So, if we're being honest with ourselves, I think each and every one of us, and then especially looking into the Word of God, that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that even seeketh after God. I know what the result of that is, and what's deserving of that life. But God, who's rich in mercy, this exact extreme opposite. By the blood of the Lamb, now are we the sons of God? All right, I think it's got our attention. But it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Not only are we saved, praise God, not only are we raised with him, praise God, but we're seated together in the heavens in Christ. As good as being there, because by the grace of God, we're with him. Hallelujah. And we're so grateful to God for that encouragement. But because we have that, because we are these wonderful sons of God, let's read in Galatians chapter 2:20. It goes on in great detail of what has transpired in our lives by receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior. It goes on and says in 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. I don't live any longer, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And now, especially today in what we praise him for, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, and now that we would be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is through the faith of Jesus, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now, think of this, brothers and sisters. If he did not die, we would have never known the power of his resurrection. You'd never know it. We would never know the beauty of being raised with him. We would never know the beauty, and I am speaking of the power of his resurrection, the power that we were brought into the newness, not just of life, but the newness of his life. The new creation, the new man. Through his death, we are raised. I'm not waiting. By the grace of God, we're raised. The enemy just wants to think, make you think somehow that, oh, you're just defeated. There's no way you can get up. Let me tell you something. That's already been done. The victory has been won. We're saved, we're raised, and we're seated. We're the sons of God now. Praise be to God. I thank the Lord. I'm seeing more in this. Thank you, Jesus, for the sons of God because of the blood of the Lamb. We are now the sons of God. I stand before the presence, the evidence of the power of his resurrection. The power of his resurrection. It's not how we feel, it's what he's finished. And that's the truth. If the life that you now live is Christ in you, how much power is in that life? Amen. He says in the Word of God that we are blessed. We have been blessed. And yes, I'm thankful. We don't come into this place without hearing that all the time. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. And that's because of the power of his resurrection. That's because of the power that he became sin for us who knew no sin. The power that he took death upon him. Guilt, shame, everything upon him. And yet, in that I recognize, Lord, I've died with you. But now, praise God, because of the faith in the blood of the Lamb, I'm raised. I'm no longer in that dead thing. He took that death for me. That old man is gone. Gone. It's done. It's dead. I'm raised in the newness of his life. His life. This life, by the grace of God, as we rejoice, where grace reigns. And let me tell you something. What can you lay to the charge of God's elect? That's called grace reigning. Grace reigning. And I'll tell you what, I'm getting ahead of myself. I know it. But I just want to, by the grace of God, be carried along with him. But we're venturing into Romans chapter 6 here soon on a Wednesday night. And I'm telling you, I'm seeing more and more of the power of his resurrection in that new man and understanding truly that I'll tell you what I do. I have a new master that I serve, righteousness. Oh, it's glorious. It's marvelous. I'm no longer bound to sin. I'm no longer in bondage of that. I'm free. Whom he has made free is free indeed. But death isn't an easy thing. It's not. Death is not an easy thing. You think about our precious Lord. You think about our sweet Father God. He had to turn away from his Son who has made sin on the cross for you. He had to turn from him because he could not look upon that in any degree. But yet, in Christ, we know it was for the purpose. The purpose. One purpose. The power of his resurrection to give us more. He had to die so we could live. But it wasn't just to give us more. It was to give him more. Oh, the beauty of what it brought to him. I love the verse in Isaiah 43:25. He tells us very directly, I forgave your iniquities for my sake. He forgave your sin for his sake. I believe the plan of God was to bring many sons to glory. I think there's a gain to that. Okay, parents, and I mean this very sincerely. I have two sons. Love them dearly. I wish I had more. But I know I have enough in what God's given me, and it's perfect. But you think about that with the Lord because of that love, because of that glory. You think about what he also told us. It wasn't just for many more sons to glory. It was also because he had to have his goodly pearl. You understand, it's a windfall for us and a windfall for him. But I'm here to tell you, see, the power of the resurrection, it continues on in our life. And it's something by the grace of God that is done, it's finished, and we have been given this. But praise be to God, I'm learning more and more in my life and in my brothers and sisters' lives. There must be the death of things. There has to be the death of things for more of the newness of life to reign. For more of the things of the glory of God. The Word of God talks about a refiner's fire. And that refiner's fire isn't a one-time thing. It's over and over. Because it's going to bring forth the exact, precise treasure for the Lord. The Word of God says that the dross has to come out. An olive has to be crushed in order for the oil to pour forth. We know these things. I remember going to Yellowstone. And I've mentioned this before in passing. But I'd never been there before. And we were married and wanted to go and see it. Well, it just so happened they had one of the biggest fires they've ever had. In the late 80s. And it burned a third of the park. And it really was a third of the park that you come in and you really look at and all. It was 1.5 million acres and it was scorched. And I remember we were really bummed because we were thinking, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? This was our trip. We were set up to go. But it had been about a year since then, maybe a little bit more. And I just said, you know, honey, I think the Lord just wants us to go. He's put that on our heart. This is the opportunity we have. We need to go. So we went on up there. And we're about, I'm going to say about 2 or 3 miles out, getting into the park. And man, I'll tell you, it was scary. It looked like a bomb hit that place from afar. It really did. All you could see were those big lodgepole pines that were standing up there. And they didn't have one pine needle, not one anything left on any branch for miles that you could see. They were charred, burned. It was not good. And I looked at it and I said, oh, honey, I don't know. As we continue to go up there, our gaze went from looking at all those trees to what was down below, to what the fire had birthed. And I'm telling you, I've never seen, truly, any more spectacular vision in my entire life. Instead of looking up and seeing those charred trees, down below was an emerald green carpet that went for miles. The hills rolled and rolled. And as we got closer, you could kind of begin to see what that carpeting was. It was 1 foot tall pine trees. And I'll assure you, there wasn't space that you could walk unless you were walking on them pine trees. And I remember as we went and learned a couple things, there was one of the rangers that was there, and he says, you know, this fire was necessary. It was in perfect time. Perfect timing. The old growth, even though it was nice, it needed to be removed and cleared for the new growth. And I thought, well, that's great. And he said, no, keep listening to me. I love when people that really know, keep listening. Keep listening. And he said, specifically, not just cleared, but it had to be cleared and burnt to create ashes. The ashes are vital. The ashes are essential because those ashes have all the nutrients. Without the nutrients of the ashes, he said, you'd never see all of that foliage. You'd never see all of these new trees. You'd never see all of the flowers. Matter of fact, it burned out the weeds. It burned out a lot of the insects and different things that were starting to come in that weren't good for the vegetation. But it was those nutrients, and specifically the nutrients that are only found in the ashes. In Isaiah 61:3, the Word of God tells us that He gives us the beauty in our lives from ashes. Before they ever knew anything scientifically about that, God knew specifically what He had even made in nature to testify to us. God gave us the power of His resurrection for one thing, for more, for more. For more fruit. Pruning is essential. Pruning is vital. The chastening of the Lord, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. And I do raise my hand because I know. And you know. No chastening for the present seems joyous. It hurts. It hurts. It's not joyous. It's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And you know, a lot of times in my life, I was exercised by God's faithfulness of the chastening. But I never received the exercising thereby. And let me explain what I'm talking about. We can go through trials and chastening of the Lord in our life, but we don't get in and return to the Word of God to see what it was for and what He really meant in it. He's still faithful. He'll never let us go. But why not take it now? Why not begin to see, Lord, this isn't something strange that happened to my life. He said, don't count those things or think those things strange, those fiery trials that come to test you. But the only way that they're not strange to you and events that you think that you're devastated with and that everything's over in your life is to understand how He sees you in the Word of God. Exact and precise of every event in your life. Every, if you will, highlight, and especially the low times, especially failures, especially events when you were wrong. Praise God when you're wrong. But the beautiful thing is to come to Him and to tell Him, you know, I was wrong. But Lord, You were still in Your faithfulness witnessing to me because I needed more humbleness. I needed more humility because He says, I give grace to the humble. But if I walk in pride, if I walk just proud and, I don't want anybody to ever know that I was wrong, or I don't want anybody to think that this Christian made a mistake because I've said some stupid things along the way, but I'm just going to cover up my stupidness by being more stupid. I just use words as words are used, okay? I don't have a large vocabulary. But listen to me. That's what happens when we're proud. We don't admit we're wrong. And especially when we're wrong in the truth or we said things that weren't right. Let me tell you something. We're not perfect. We're not. And oftentimes we go in our own strength and we go in our own, well, this is the way it should be, or this is the way it's going to be, or this is the way it was. Let me tell you something. This is the way it is. Because His word is the same, and we have the same faithful God. But this is the beauty of it. If you'll be exercised by that, meaning allow the word to chasten you, allow the word to encourage your heart. Understand it's the most beautiful thing to bend the knee before the Lord. Let me tell you, it was a joyous thing for David when the prophet went into him and said, "You're the man." See, David tried to be proud for a year, trying to slough that off. "Oh, I know God. I'm sure I've said all those things I'm confident he said when I was wrong." "You're the man." "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You must increase and I must decrease." I'll tell you what. We got a lot of decreasing saints in here, and that's why his testimony is mighty. Don't walk around here like, "Oh, great cerebral ones. Oh, my Bible's bigger than yours." That's not what this is about. When you know the word of God, you become lowly. When you know the word of God, you become more humble. You thank him. And by the grace of God, you pray always, "Lord, let me not be puffed up. I'm thankful for what's going on in this meeting, but I know it is him. I know this is by the power of his might. I'm so grateful to God that he truly does." And I caution to say this. Look around here, the likes of us. It's the truth. It's the truth. Don't think more highly of yourself than ye ought. He's everything. Now, I think about this pruning. In the first chapter, Job said, as he was being tested, "The Lord gives and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Precious, amen? That was the first chapter. You get on through to the 43rd after all that stuff went down and really got to be exercised by the word of God in his life. Then it became, "Oh Lord, I see what this was about. I have heard of thee with mine ears. But now," as they sang, "now my eyes see you." They see the gain. And you know what came out of Job's life? It was a double portion gain. Oh, he was wealthy. He had all this family. And God gave him twice as much. I'm telling you, that's what we're in right now. If you'll just take it, we're in the time of the double portion. I remember so sweetly how when Polly and I were first married, we had a little rental home over here next to the highway and university. And there was this beautiful grapevine that was in the back, Concord grapes. And we got married in the wintertime, and we moved in, and oh, that summer. Oh, my goodness, those grapes were so good. And a lot of times you don't get grapes around here that are good just to eat, but these were marvelous, sweet, beautiful, and all. And I remember our neighbors on each side said, "Oh, those are such good grapes. Can we have some?" We shared them and all that. So we had our good eating that fall, and here came knock, knock, knock on the door, and it was Brother Hill. There he was, and he had his trimmers. He had them. And we looked at him, "Oh, we're going to have to trim that. I used to trim that for Jim." My brother lived there. This was my daddy's place, and he had lived there before. And Brother Hill, Grandpa would always come back over there, and "Time to trim that vine." Well, this was our first time. I had work to do, and I was in there. And so I could hear, because we have a real small house at that time, and they're in the backyard, her and Polly and Brother Hill. "Now, honey, I know what I'm doing." And I heard here, But Grandpa, "Now, honey, you're going to have to trust me." I always remember that. I hear him just saying that right there. And then I just heard this big sigh. And then chop, 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 chop. Well, Brother Hill was done. He was leaving. And I'm telling you truthfully, Polly was literally crying. She came over. Oh, honey, he's killed it. It's dead. It's so dead. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That vine was one vine. And it went from the middle of the fence each way at least 20, 30 feet. I walked out there. And I mean, all of that vine was gone. I mean, there was nothing left. There was literally this brown little hump of stump right there. And there was nothing coming out of it. Nothing. And I would have to say, maybe he did. Thinking, you know, did we not go to breakfast early? Well, we didn't do that too much because never mind, but we weren't early ones. But flash forward. Here comes spring. Boy, those little shoots starting to come out of that thing. And I'm telling you, it went everywhere. And it went everywhere and beyond. And it was so sweet. Here was the testimony, the neighbors that had been there for years on each side. They came out and they said, man, we have never seen that vine that full. We'd never even seen the grapes that full on that vine. The Lord showed me right there as he was witnessing to me. Honey, it's got to be pruned. Got to take away the old, honey. Got to give you some more new. Doesn't feel good. Sometimes it doesn't look good. Sometimes it looks like it's all dead. But I've got a purpose in it. Oh, yes, he does. And I'll tell you what. See, and then it gets personal. See, he gives you those types and signs and shadows, and oh, you're rejoicing, you're raising your hand. Oh, that was sweet, God. But then he brings it home. And then this man had children. And then this man, about 4 years ago, almost exactly to the date, my baby was riding on a scooter, no helmet on, no nothing, downtown, just first time on there, but you know, we're experts at 18. My goodness, I could send rockets to the moon. And just screaming along and hit a bump and went flying at least 50 feet in the air, head first, right into the pavement. I get a call. Matter of fact, we're having our baptism service that night. And I sit right over there. Matter of fact, almost right where he's sitting right now. I see him there. And I remember that ride down like it was right now, not today, but right now. And I remember the peace that passes understanding, and all that conversation was in the spirit in tongues with my wife sitting next to me as we went down to the emergency room. And we got there and found, as they were doing all the scans, well, he's got three breaks in an arm. He's got many orbital facial fractures and all these different things. And we were waiting. And he was lying there, and it had knocked him out. And then I remember the man, the doctor that was there saying, but man, he, you know, we're looking at all this. His brain's not swelling. He doesn't have one damage to his brain. Well, I said, well, we could talk about that later. He had no damage to any of his organs. And then I remember walking in there, and I still got the picture. And I'm telling you, I've never seen a face like that. It was amazing because and it's amazing that it was our baptismal time. His face was completely caked in blood. I mean, you could not see a stitch of the skin on his face. His hair was matted in blood as he laid there. And here came his eyes open. Blue, blue, blue. And all his first words out of his mouth was, Dad, I'm sorry. And I realized sometime later, and never really told him this, I don't think I ever have, he wasn't telling me he was sorry. He was telling his Father, God, he was sorry. The fire had just begun. Wasn't over. It just begun. And it had been some years that it blazed. But I'm thankful for his glory, aren't you, son? Now, that's your life. And that is your God. And that is, praise his name, that's his resurrection power. See, oftentimes, I'm so thankful that, yes, when by His grace I'm yielding to God, I know His resurrection power. But I'm so thankful to God that even when I wasn't yielding to God, He's shown me His resurrection power. Let me tell you something. There is therefore no condemnation. There's no condemnation. You go through the 8th chapter of Romans, you know what you get to after no condemnation? No separation. You go from no condemnation to telling you there's no separation. It's impossible to be separated from the love of God. Oh, you can feel like it. You can sure act like it. But I'm going to tell you what, as we praise Him around here, because I'll tell you what, there is a man after God's own heart, and boy, did he praise Him, and I sure love to have that in my heart. He said, Lord, if I make my bed in hell, You're there with me. Now, He's faithful. And He's going to have these pruning times over and over in our life. It's going to be a life of suffering. And I'm so thankful to God. It's a life as He's encouraged my heart. Honey, death and resurrection. It's going to be pruning. Because I always want to give You more. He didn't take you out there to destroy you. He took you there to get you alone to give you more. Now, it even got a little bit more personal, if you will. About 14 years ago to the day, this man, I tell you, you talk about a personal pruning. And it was. No more business, son. No more being highly esteemed by powerful people. No more having a, if you will, a crowd and a bunch that would praise you for financial doings and gains and things of that nature. In one moment of time, literally a flight from Mexico back to Denver, the Lord did it. He did. He did it. I always remember that. I knew it was going away. I knew God was taking it from my life. I am thankful, and I want to say this. I'm not ashamed of what the Lord's done in my life. And I know it's the grace of God that's with me. I know He's led me all the way along. I thank the Lord that, you know what? He's had me to attain and achieve a lot of things in life. And I'm grateful for that. I'm not ashamed of it. It's been a wonderful thing. But I don't need a pat on my back either for saying, hey, look, oh man, that's just great what you did and all this. And I know that people like to get in line for that kind of stuff, but that's not what this is about. I'm just giving you a testimony that He can take a guy like me and give me more. And when I was coming back on that flight, I remember Polly said to me, she said, well, honey, how are you going to do both? How are you going to be a pastor and still run that business? I remember just smiling because... remember, I saw the burning bush first. She had to see it too. Now, don't you think she did it? I was a little bit ahead of this one. And I said, oh, honey, I'm not going to be a businessman anymore. I'm going to be a pastor. That's it. Well, I'll tell you this. I didn't know how God was going to do it. And I'm going to tell you this true. I didn't know the cost it would be. Oh, there's a cost for things as you go with God. You know that? There's a cost. Oh, yes. But you know what holds you all the time? Grace. Grace holds you. There can be a separation from things that were in your life. There's separation often, too, of people that are in your life. They'd be real close. I'm talking family. I'm talking family close separation. But I'm going to tell you something. There was no other choice. I love that. There was no other choice. There was no other choice. There was only one place to go, and it was through that unknown door. Now, the one thing I can tell you about that unknown door, it has been a path to a new inheritance that is a hundredfold gain. Oh, yeah, there was a cost. There were some good things. There was a lot of good times. We had fun. Shoot, I used to work with 5 or 6 people in here. The Lord gathered Christians around me, even in my workplace. was awesome. We had great fellowship. But I'll tell you what, neither I or they want to go back. He gives you more. He always gives you more. He's always about the increase. But know this, it's always going to be through the pruning. It's always going to be through the pruning. It's always going to be through fire and death that springs up more life. It's always going to be the evidence of the power of His resurrection. You don't have any bootstraps to pull yourself up with. You don't. You can't pull yourself out of the mud. But I'm going to tell you something. He already did. He already pulled you up. He's already done that. He's already placed you. And matter of fact, He's placed you seated together with Him on a throne with Him. Don't wait for the power of the resurrection. I'm so thankful to God it's here. It's here. It's in your life. If you're a Christian here today, you live that. The question is, will you know it? Will you know it? And I love this. He has raised us in Him over everything. Over everything. Over everything. Listen to this. He has raised your life over everything. Sin, death. Those are two that pretty much every Christian just checks right off the box. Yes, yes, yes. Guilt. Don't carry that no more. It's a lie. He took that too. He said, I took your guilt. I took your sin. I took your death. I took your shame. Amen, only Jesus. So in this, and I thank the Lord as He encouraged me at this last. Go forth now, sons of God. Go forth now, sons of God. We are the evidence of the power of His resurrection. The Word of God tells us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have it. By the grace of God, live it. And by the grace of God, isn't it marvelous? We are, I'm not waiting. We are more than conquerors. What do you think the power of His resurrection is? It is finished. He is risen. He's not here. That is that. This is that. We are more than conquerors. You are more than a conqueror. By the grace of God, by the blood of Jesus, you are more than a conqueror. There isn't anything that power of His resurrection has not overcome in your life. It is done. Walk in it. Live it. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. And why? Who loved us? He just loves you. He just loves you. Let's bow our heads. Praise God. Father, we are just so grateful to You. In Jesus' name we come and we thank You for Your Son. We thank You for the free gift. We thank You that You gave it all. We thank You, Lord, that You held nothing back. We thank You, Lord, that He was made sin for us who knew no sin. Lord, we thank You that we do. In the name of Jesus, we identify, we know that we have died with Him and we've been raised in Him. In Him. Thank You, God. It's in Christ. Lord, encourage every life here today to really want to know the Word of God, to really want to be enlightened, quickened something today. What was that man speaking about? Why could he be so joyful? How could this death of Christ bring him such gladness, rejoicing? How could there be confidence beyond that if God be for us, who could be against us? I will not fear what man can do to me. If God be for me, who could be against me? Now, Lord, we receive that. And we know it's because, as you said, even when we were dead in sin, you commanded your love to us. You couldn't withhold it. You couldn't withhold your love. We are your plan. And your love in us, and your love to know it, and your love to receive it, is the plan of God. It's the ways of God. It's the purpose of God. And by your grace, thank you, Lord. It's been witnessed here today. Your word has been preached, and your word is all powerful. And I thank you, Lord, it doesn't matter what anyone has ever done or accomplished or actually done in anger, in hate in this place. By the blood of Jesus, it's all been taken away. May we receive what you gave it all for us to have. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.